me to despair and tells me of my guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to a live broadcast of The Looking Up Show. It happens to be Wednesday, the 10th of June. My name is Sharissa. I'm joined in studio by Danny and Letitia, our producer as well. How are you today, Danny?
I'm doing well, my friend. Enjoying the sunshine and the warmer weather, which is great.
Yeah, so, it's a bit of a surprise. Little extra gift for us in winter.
I know. Last week was a bit chilly.
Was.
But this week has been lovely, so yeah, loving it.
Yeah, and it's good to have you back because we were both away last week.
That's right.
Where were you?
I was up in Brisbane visiting the family,
So
catching up with my sisters and my dad, and I had a wonderful time there and also caught up with some friends. And yeah, so big shout out to my sister. She's one of our regular listeners, Lydia. So I'm not sure if she's listening right now, but yeah, it was great to catch up with them. And so, and a real blessing, I didn't have to deal with the bees. Like, my dad's got bees. I've been like, you know how you get like anxiety before you know you have to do and you don't want to do it?
Yes, I know all about it.
Yeah, you know all about it. You're about to have a baby soon. You're thinking about those labor pains, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
so anyway, fortunately, we are able to, you know, convince my dad that it's wintertime, the bees need their food, so leave the bees alone. So hallelujah, I was very excited about that.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful to hear. I'm glad you got to get away because you've had a very busy year.
Yeah, and it's going to get busier.
We'll come back to hear that.
We will.
Letitia, how are you and how was your weekend?
I'm very well. It's been a good weekend and I'm very happy to be here.
We are so happy that you're here.
Amen, amen, amen.
You make our world just so much better just by being here. So where are you going next?
All right, where am I going next? Well, firstly, shout out for our friends at Memorial.
How did that go?
It went really, really well. It was amazing. Like
I saw pictures.
They put up with me for four programs over a weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, that's quite an effort. Pastor Sven and his entire team, they did a fantastic job, especially the young people. They were serving the food. Camilla and Food Pharmacy provided the food Friday night, Sunday night. There was an amazing church potluck on Saturday. It was just a brilliant weekend. Just loved it. So big shout out to Pastor Sven, Marilyn, his wife, the entire team, Camilla, everyone. It was just fantastic. And they had a lot of people sign up for the Secrets of Prophecy seminar, which is what they are continuing with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there's over 30-odd people. So I haven't caught up with Pastor Sven to see how that all went.
Well, I know somebody who brought their neighbor, so that was exciting to
Fantastic.
Hear. Fantastic. Yeah,
I met some great people there. And, yeah, some of our listeners to Faith FM were there and some new folk. A couple of my tennis partners were there as well, so they probably felt bad if they don't come. I might not want to play tennis with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
Kept your friends.
Yeah, so that was really great. Big shout out to you guys. And in 10 days' time, I'm heading to South Australia.
Okay.
Catch up with our good friend Marty Thompson, Pastor Marty Thompson.
Oh, wonderful.
At the Prospect Seventh Adventist Church in South Australia, Adelaide.
That's exciting.
So that's June 19 to 21. All the details are on the Faith FM website under the events page.
Mm-hmm.
Go there and register. Love to have your company. So looking forward to that. I'm excited about that.
Praise the Lord. Well, I was in Jindabyne, not last weekend, the weekend before when you were at, I think, Memorial, and met a lot of ladies down there. It was a women's retreat. We had a great time, and many of them listened to the show, which was exciting to hear. I said I'd give them a shout out.
Oh, absolutely.
They told me their names, and I can't remember all your names, but I remember your faces, and so we're so glad that you're joining us from down south as well. And then, I'll be heading to the US next week on Monday.
I'm about to cry.
But I'll be coming back.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So they'll have, you'll have some surprise guests. Yeah.
Are you going to watch the World Cup? Is that why you're going?
That's exactly why we're going. Of course we're going for the World Cup. I didn't even know it was on.
it starts this weekend.
We're going over. There's a youth conference over there, mm-hmm. so we'll be part of that. And then
whereabouts?
Granite Bay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With Amazing Facts.
Ah, and Dougie. Mate, Dougie. Big shout out to him. Tell him Danny's the biggest fan he has that he's never met.
I'm going to tell him. I'll mention it. And maybe we can bring him here on the show.
Yeah. Oh, man, I won't be able to contain myself.
That's true. We can lock you up in that room.
We can.
No, it'll be wonderful.
That's exciting.
And then we're going because it's Justin's birthday and his mum's birthday back to back. So we'll stay for an extra week, celebrate that, and come home.
Amen.
And when we come home.
Tell us.
When we come home, July 3 and 4, there is an epic event everybody will want to be part of. And if you can't be part of it, you'll want to watch it online. Mm-hmm. It's called Final Allegiance, America in Crisis. We have an incredible lineup of speakers, including Danny, Lyle Southwell.
You did say incredible.
I did. Danny, Lyle Southwell, Boris Yovanov, Rebecca Cheers, Joseph Scaff will make an appearance, mm-hmm. and my husband Justin. And they're all going to be speaking on what the Bible says about America in prophecy and all of this, how it relates to what's happening right now. It's incredible. America will be celebrating its 250th anniversary since the signing of the Declaration.
And that's at Hamilton Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Amen. Let's listen to Jill the Zvon bring to us Psalm 22. Looking Up Show still. That was a beautiful song, Psalm 22. We were just flying fast an incredible announcement that we're looking forward to, but we forgot some details. Did you want to add what
I forgot? In connection with the America in Prophecy. Remind me of the title.
Final Allegiance, Final America in Crisis.
What a title. Final Allegiance, America in Crisis. So if you're anywhere around the Newcastle area, you want to come along to this and you want to bring someone along for this weekend.
There's free food.
free food. It's just going to be wonderful. We haven't done anything like this before in Australia, as far as I'm aware, America in Prophecy. We've done some other similar programs. This is like a Faith FM extravaganza, if ever there was one.
Wow, what a word.
Go to the Faith FM website. The advertising is there. The information is there. And register and invite someone to come along. Yeah. So it's going to be, it really is going to be such a blessing, and you'll be thoroughly blessed as we pull all the pieces together, because we talk about lots of different things on Faith FM every week in connection with the United States and Bible prophecy. But here we're going to pull it all together in one, you could say, succinct manner that's just going to help people understand this subject in a way maybe they haven't understood it. So anyway, if you're anywhere near Newcastle, get yourself there. You'll be thoroughly blessed.
That's right. So go to the Faith FM website, and under the events tab, scroll down and see there the promo. It's pretty epic. 250 years. That's an excellent promo. And yeah, you can register, because it will help us with catering, especially.
Absolutely.
We want to be able
And you guys have got a brand new kitchen, so you'll have an opportunity to see Hamilton's brand new kitchen that made it on the news. It's so big and amazing that it made it on NBN News.
That's right.
Like, not many churches have their kitchen on the news.
Yeah.
For all the right reasons, not because there was food poisoning or something like
that. That's true. You know, God is good. God is good.
Amen.
Now, Vernon has already texted us. He's listening, and I met his wife, I believe, at the retreat. He says, "Hi, Faith FM family. God bless, and God bless, and a big hi to you too, Vernon. We're glad you're joining us." Well, this is the part of the program which usually drags into several sections.
We never know how many.
It's supposed to be a look at current events and how they relate to Bible prophecy. But
correct,
there's so many current events relating to Bible prophecy that we usually drag this out. So where shall we dive in?
Well, shall we give them the book?
Let's do that.
The giveaway for today. Maybe you want to mention what that is.
Yes. So today our book is entitled Man of Peace, a contemporary adaptation of the classic work on Jesus's life, The Desire of Ages by Jerry D. Thomas. Now, I have
Are we giving that away? Letitia, where did you find that?
She's amazing.
Letitia.
So this would be a must-have book.
Oh, this is a must-have, 100%, 150%.
You know, this is really what our show is all about.
Absolutely.
It should be the primary focus of this show is about causing people to look to Jesus.
Amen.
That's what it means by looking up. And here, is your life peaceful? No? Well, you are not alone. Peace, real, lasting, solid peace has always been difficult to find and even more difficult to maintain. But once upon a time, and that sounds like a fairy tale, but once Jesus came into this world, and that's a true story, his life and message started a movement that continues to grow rapidly more than 2,000 years later on, called the Man of Peace. Jesus of Nazareth took on the proud, powerful religious elite of his day. He chose common fishermen as his closest associates. He was a skilled carpenter, but he never owned his own home. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He offered peace to everyone, real, lasting peace, and he offers that personal, lasting peace to you too. If you're interested in the book, keep listening and keep this number handy, 0488-17624. And we'll give you a code word. How many of these copies do we have today, Letitia?
I don't believe there's a limit.
Oh,
wow.
Even better. If the news could only get better,
I might pick some people to text in for me.
That, like, you want to read that book. The Desire of Ages, that contemporary adaptation by Jerry D. Thomas, has done a fantastic work on that. You know, just a great book, a great book. So you'll be thoroughly blessed, thoroughly blessed. All right, we have another listener, our mate Ace. Remember the pizza shop man, Ace?
I remember that guy.
Oh, yes. He's going to be making pizzas for the program at Prospect, he told me.
Oh, wow.
And he asked
me. That's a reason to go.
He asked me what kind of pizza I want. I mean, like, how good is that? So I told him no cheese, no vegan cheese, no cheese, just the veggie pizza.
toppings off.
Yeah.
Toppings fall off.
Yeah, yeah. I just love it. But if people think I'm a bit weird,
yeah,
and that's all right. I get that all the time. So Ace is listening. So big shout out, Ace, Linda, and their lovely daughter, Eliana. Wonderful. So I'm looking forward to meeting them.
Wonderful.
And it's going to be wonderful. All righty. So we are ready. We are ready to launch into what's making news headlines from a prophetic point of view. All right. So let's start off with our own backyard here.
Yes.
Have you heard of One Nation?
Have I ever? She's dominating the headlines.
Oh my. If I would have said to you 12 months ago that Pauline Hanson's One Nation Party, that she would be leading the polls as far as the preferred party, even the preferred prime minister, you would have said, Danny, you are a Looney Tune times 100. True?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? One poll after another has come out in the last week or two showing that One Nation now is ahead of, they've been ahead of the coalition, the Liberal Party, mm-hmm. And the National Party. They've been ahead of them for months now, but they are now ahead of Labor
mm-hmm.
as far as the first past the post. If we had a first past the post election, which we don't, obviously, because we've got preferences and so forth, if there was an election held right now, according to these polls, she would possibly be prime minister and her party would possibly be in power.
Wow.
Now, this, why I'm sharing this is I'm not sharing this from a political point of view because mm-hmm. we don't look at the political analysis of things. We look at the prophetic analysis of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What this is telling us is that the olden days are over. People are looking for change. They're looking for change. They don't want the status quo. Life is getting more and more challenging and people are saying, we need change. And this fits in with Bible prophecy
mm-hmm.
because the Bible tells us at the end of time, people's go to our scripture. The looking up scripture tells you what the state of the world, what the mindset of people will be just before Jesus returns. So let's go to our scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Where we get the title, The Looking Up Show, from.
All right.
Luke 21. All right. So if you want to read verse 25 and 26 of Luke 21. In fact, let's have a prayer before we start.
Sure.
Father in heaven, as we open your word and compare it to these prophetic news headlines that are coming at us thick and fast, we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us now and for the course of this program. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So Luke 21, 25 and 26.
And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Okay, now we know that this is immediately prior to the coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Because of the next
verse. Because of the next two verses.
And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Okay. All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. So what are the words in verse 25 and 26 that jump out at you?
Distress.
Yes.
And perplexity.
And?
I mean, signs and all of that. And men's hearts failing them for fear.
Okay. So we've got a lot of things here that Jesus highlights.
A lot of things that describe people today.
Exactly. So this is the mindset of today. And I'm going to get to
people are afraid of the economy.
Absolutely. And I'm going to get to a news headline from yesterday that tells us where we are. So distress, perplexity, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you have this kind of state of affairs, people are looking for change. Now, in the United States, Donald Trump.
Because they think that's the solution.
Because they think that's the solution. They're looking for a human solution.
That will fix the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. So for the first time in Australian history, there is a third party now, a third party option. Before this, it's always been just a two party. It's either been the Liberal Party or the Labor Party. Liberal, Labor, Liberal, Labor. You know, that kind of swap between two. But now for the first time.
People are saying those ones aren't helping us. Let's try something else.
This is all happening so quickly.
Yeah.
And we were told the last movements would be Rapid ones. All right. So let me share with you this article. All right. So this is from yesterday, okay, mm-hmm. June 9. ABC News, Australians less satisfied with life than during pandemic as financial pressure mounts.
Wow.
Letitia, do you remember the pandemic?
I do.
What was life like in 2020?
It was hectic in a whole new way.
Sharissa, do you remember 2020?
I remember.
That's when the Looking Up show began in May 2020.
Yeah. Totally.
Let me read to you this. Okay. So this is a summary. Australians felt a greater sense of satisfaction during the pandemic than when restrictions were fully lifted, ABS data has shown. The nation's cost of living crunch and falling real wages are behind falling life satisfaction, according to a leading urban economist. With a growing number of jobs predicted to be replaced by AI, Australians' sense of well-being could be further tested. Like the COVID-19, it goes on here. The COVID-19 pandemic challenged Australians in ways they had not been tested before, with curfews, mask mandates, border closures, restrictions on movement, and the shutdown of normality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those severe measures might have helped keep Australians alive, but they also exacted a substantial toll in many ways. But then it goes on and it says, today, 2026, this is what Terry Ronbilson, an urban economist and consulting firm at KPMG Australia, this is what he had to say. We're feeling worse about the world today than we were during the pandemic lockdowns. When you look at life satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 10 in 2020, when we're in the middle of the pandemic, life satisfaction was 7.2 out of 10. Last year, it was 7.1 out of 10. So our satisfaction is dropping.
Mm.
Things are worse now than they were. So imagine we threw a pandemic in the mix.
Mm. Yeah.
So what's this telling us?
It tells us that the world's falling apart, people are falling apart with it, and Jesus is coming soon.
Amen. So that's the only hope that we have.
This world's not going to get any better.
And you know what? People are over this woke world that we live in here in the West in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone sent me this, and actually it was an email that I got, in connection with the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission. They've produced a booklet, a 28-page booklet, on how to talk to your child about sexuality and gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
This is like surreal stuff. And let me just read to you the introduction. All right, parents, heads up. I'm not sure. It's not anything graphic or anything, but yeah, you may want to switch. This is how it begins. Family support and why it's so important. This 28-page document. When a child is born, families may not think about the possibility that their child might be LGBTQA. These letters stand for lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, or gender diverse, queer, and asexual. You can look them up in the section. Anyway, they might assume that a child will grow up and have a partner of the opposite gender. They might also assume baby boys will grow up to be men and baby girls will grow up to be women. Are we able to have a little bit more time? Thanks. It goes on here. But not all young people and adults are attracted to the opposite gender. And not everyone identifies with the gender on their birth certificate. LGBTQ people have always existed, and there are LGBTQ people in every country and across every culture and faith. And then it goes on. And then it says how, and then it gives a description on how you are to speak to your child in connection with these matters. Now, I don't know about you, Sharissa, but I find it very disturbing that children, young mm-hmm. children,
mm-hmm.
preschoolers or even primary age children are having to have these discussions with their parents, because these discussions are being had in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You're still homeschooling. You're going to be homeschooling, aren't you?
This doesn't make me want to send my son to school.
So, but can you see, this is what's driving mm-hmm. this epic pendulum swift in society. Because I can tell you, One Nation is not in favor of this kind of thing. Okay. Mm. And so, and there's also, and in that booklet, they talk about, you know, the religious side, and you know, that there are laws now in connection with this, and parents need to make their children aware of the legislation that we have in this space. For example, page 15, As a parent, you have the right under the law to share your personal beliefs and values with your child, including your beliefs around sexuality and gender. There is no law in Australia that prevents you from sharing what's important to you with your child. However, listen to this, Sharissa. However, there are laws against doing things that could harm your child. So if your child says to you, Mom, I don't think I was born in the right body.
Mm-hmm.
And you are like, look, I'm sorry, but, you know, I think we need, you know, we need to help you work through this gender dysphoria. There are laws against you doing that as a parent.
Laws against you being a parent.
Yeah, basically. So,
the government is taking over the role of parents.
And when the government takes over the role of parents, there's only one way our society will head,
mm-hmm.
and that is to destruction. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's happened in the past civilizations when governments have taken on board the role of parenting.
Interesting, because the government's trying to control what makes a family.
Mm.
And family was one of the gifts that God gave us in Eden mm-hmm. before sin.
Marriage and family.
Marriage and family. That was before sin. And so was the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. So the government will try and take control of that too, I guess.
One's under attack now.
Yeah.
Which will be followed by the next one.
Correct.
Good point. Good mm-hmm. point. Wow.
Well,
all right, folks, that was Australia.
So we haven't even got across the sea yet. So stay with us, folks. Glimmer of Hope now brought to us by One Glory. And then when we come back, I guess we're going to catch a plane ticket and go across the sea somewhere.
We are heading.
With a current event story from overseas. Enjoy.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again? You reach out as I lean backward, too scared to face my unbelief. If what you say you really mean it, restore my first love again. Awake, it's love as I behold you. So turn my eyes to see you now. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again? Back around. Oh, give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, turn me back around again. Back around. Would you turn me back around again? Back around. So when I face you, I face my fears, and the devil can't hold me down. I will cling to you, my closest friend. If I seek you, we'll be found. When I face you, I face my fears, and the devil can't hold me down. I will cling to you, my closest friend.
have hope again. Save me from all my wondering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Bible question you've never quite had answered? I'm Lyle, and every Thursday at 5 p.m. I unpack the deep, meaningful, and sometimes tricky questions people send in. Whether you're searching for clarity, exploring a new topic, or just love learning alongside others, Question of the Day is for you. Send your questions anytime to 0488 808 56. And join me each Thursday at 5 p.m. as we dig into the Bible with the promise that no question goes unanswered.
Unto thee, yeah, we'll look
up with us here on the Looking Up show today. We have just started looking at current events and Bible prophecy updates, but I think we should we tell them the code word?
Yeah, I think so. Give them more opportunity.
Absolutely. Giveaway. The giveaway again is a book entitled Man of Peace. It's a contemporary adaptation of the classic work on the life of Jesus, The Desire of Ages, and it's put together by a man named Jerry D. Thomas. You'll be so blessed by this book, and maybe if you already have it, you can think of someone else who would be blessed. And so we'd encourage you to text in the code word for today, which is
LU26 peace.
All right. So text LU26 peace to 0488 17624. So that's LU26 peace. Text it through to 0488 17624, and everyone who does this will be a recipient of this amazing book.
Great book, folk. You want to get hold of this one if you don't have it, certainly. Big shout out to Sue. She's listening. As always, she's one of our regular listeners. You told me you kidnapped her on one occasion.
By accident.
By accident.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I thought she needed to go home, and she didn't actually need to go.
I love it. All right, well, we're going to the land of the free and the home of the very, very brave, where you will be very, very soon.
And
this time next week, you will be there.
But I'm not.
She's actually going to visit Donald Trump. Donald Trump has invited her to the White House.
This is how rumors get started.
Because he also listens to the Looking Up show. So big shout out to you, Donald. Sharissa's looking forward to meeting you. And I'm expecting to get the good oil from her as you share with her what's really going on.
Well, tell us what's going on over there, because I know there's some pretty big stuff coming on.
There is. And by the way, folk,
I'll be able to bring a live report back.
just a plug for the American Prophecy. We're doing a special, the United States celebrating 250 years, and we are going to tap into that from a prophetic point of view. So July 3 and 4 at the Hamilton Seventh-day Adventist Church, go to the Faith FM website under the events page and register to be part of that.
That's right.
So that's going to be great. All right. So let's take a look at what's been happening in the Middle East. You remember this was...
Oh, we're going to the Middle East.
Yeah, we're going to the Middle East. Okay. this war in the Middle East was supposed to be
wrapped up.
Wrapped up like a weekend. It was supposed to be just a weekend excursion, a little like of what happened in Venezuela. You remember? It was in and out, and everyone lived happily ever after, except for the president and his wife, who I understand are there somewhere behind bars in New York, awaiting their fate. Anyway, it was to be something similar. But here we are 102, 103 days later since February 28, and the war is still going. It's kind of in this precarious ceasefire state. And just literally in the last 24 hours, we've had quite a bit of action taking place there. We had Iran send ballistic missiles over to Israel because Israel were continuing to bomb southern Lebanon and even, you know, Beirut itself. And they told them that if you do that, if you beat up our mates, our allies, which are Hezbollah, you know, this whole thing is so messed up, Sharissa. Mm-hmm. This is telling us that Jesus is the only solution. There is no solution outside of Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay. There will be a supernatural human solution at the end of time. We're going to talk about that. So that happened. Then Israel struck back. Then Donald Trump told them, look, just don't go all out. Israel were ready to go all out and retaliate. Donald Trump said, don't do that. 24 hours later, an American Apache helicopter patrolling the Strait of Hormuz was shot down by the Iranians, and Donald Trump has responded in kind. So, look, today's Wednesday. The 10th of June. I've got no idea what's going to be happening tomorrow, let alone the next time we're here. So this basically tells us that our world is in a precarious place.
And the world being in a place like this would be looking for someone to bring peace.
That's right. A peacemaker, a peacemaker. So are you wanting to go where I'm thinking of going?
Just can you give me a little cue?
Well, speaking of peace, there is one individual who last year at his inauguration or when he was announced to the world as Pope Leo the 14th said he would be the man of peace.
All right, let's
the
go.
The man
there.
Of peace. So I have a couple of headlines here from Pope Leo, and one of them, where are we here, is from Rolling Stone magazine. Have you heard of Rolling Stone magazine?
I have. Some good articles come from there.
Yeah. So Rolling Stone magazine on their front cover have Pope Leo, and after his AI encyclical, they have the headline, The Planet's Pope. The planet's Pope. This is what they say. Pope Leo the 14th called artificial intelligence a threat to humanity in his first encyclical, showing that he's serious about taking on climate change. Okay. Magnifica Humanitas. I kind of have a little bit of issue with that title. The magnificence of humanity.
Yeah.
Does that not sit right with you also?
We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
We are. But
by a magnificent God.
By a magnificent God. The focus should be on our magnificent God. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it goes on. It says here, you know, that Pope Leo now is taking the baton from Pope Francis, who was a big defender of climate change and so forth, as well as peace and peace initiatives. He's continuing on in that vein, but now he's adding to his repertoire this whole idea of peace, that we need peace, we need unity, which is what, you know, a number of popes have been really focusing on, which is what the Bible says will be the cry at the end of time. Should we go to that scripture?
Yes.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We go there pretty much almost every week, because this is the cry at the end of time. So if you want to read in the context of the second coming, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3.
For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
There you go. So what will be the cry at the end of time?
Peace and safety.
Peace.
Because obviously these two things will be really lacking in the world, so people will be longing for it and crying for it.
And so who is becoming in a more prominent way day by day the one agent for peace that the people and the world is looking to.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pope Leo, isn't it?
Yeah.
By far and away. Remember Donald
he
Trump?
He would be the peace leader of the world.
Donald.
And the safety leader would be America.
Exactly. Peace and safety.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. And we are told, you know, in verse 4, it says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day," speaking of the second coming, "should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." So we are told that this would be the case. Now, here's another headline, this time from Vatican News, and this came out May 15, so not very long ago, last month. "Pope to Tawadros II, in a world afflicted by conflict, Christians must witness unity." So Pope Leo XIV spoke with Coptic Orthodox Pope Tawadros II for the occasion of the Day of Coptic Catholic Friendship and reaffirmed their shared responsibility to proclaim the gospel and promote peace, and encouraged both churches to continue their journey together toward full communion.
Mm.
Unity,
yeah.
Peace, harmony. We were told this would be, and there's nothing wrong with peace.
No.
We've talked about this. Nothing wrong with peace. But according to Daniel 8:25, and we've been there before, the peace that will be rolled out at the end of time will also have with it persecution for those that don't go along with this new world order peace and safety plan that will have the supernatural running all the way through it.
I was going to say, I saw an article too this past week about I thought this was interesting. It says there's a map that shows where conflict is happening around the world, like a heat map. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is what the news article said. It shows that there is more conflict happening around the world than at any point since the end of the Second World War.
I shared that at Memorial.
Did you?
Yep. I shared that very article at Memorial. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
No other time since World War II. I think it didn't mention the number. I think it was about 59 or 50, something in the 50s. Conflicts going on right now around the world. We only hear of one or two or three.
That's right.
That are in the news, but there are so many conflicts going on.
Mm.
So the world is desperate for peace. And who's the ultimate peacemaker?
The world needs Jesus.
They need Jesus. That's why
the gospel of peace on our feet.
This giveaway book is all about that.
It's the perfect giveaway. So again, a plug for it. LU26 peace is the code word for today. PEACE.
Amen.
Peace. LU26 peace. Text it through to 0488-17624 so we can send this book to you. And I was thinking too, as you were talking there about the Beatitudes and what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God," or like little Jesuses, because we will be doing what Jesus did when he came. He brought peace.
Amen.
And the peace that the world cannot give.
Amen. And so I was sharing this at our Bible study on Tuesday there at RTM in Revelation. You know how you've got the truth and the counterfeit all the way through. You know, you've got the truth and the counterfeit, truth and counterfeit, truth and counterfeit all the way through.
Great controversy, it's called.
It's called the great controversy, yes, which we're going to get to today. And so you have Christ's peace plan.
Which is the gospel.
Which is the gospel.
The gospel of peace on our feet.
Exactly.
Ephesians
but
6.
There's Satan's got his counterfeit peace plan. And Satan's counterfeit peace plan looks good on the outside, but deep down inside, it will bring about that end time persecution.
I was listening to something along these lines, and that is, you know, we replace the gospel of Jesus Christ, the everlasting gospel, with so many other things. We put down the problem for peace in our world to being, it's a problem of governments, or it's the problem of social norms that we've got to change, and that becomes a social justice gospel that people turn to instead. But what is different between that and the gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus highlights for us that the real problem is the human heart. And the only person who can change the human heart is Christ. He's the one who can give us a born-again new heart experience. He can create within us a new heart. And he calls us, in order to experience this, to repent.
Mm.
But to turn away from the things that are damaging us, to turn away from our false ideas of peace and safety, to turn to him. But, you know, there's so many distractions that prevent people from actually following him. So this is really our greatest charge, to cause people to look to Jesus so they can experience the everlasting gospel in their lives.
Amen. Amen. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. He is the ultimate peacemaker. And, you know, speaking of Pope Leo, I'm not sure if you came across this, but this just shows the significance of this individual. He's been on another tour currently. I'm not sure if he's still there as we speak, but he went to Spain. And I watched with my own eyes the Parliament of Spain. They all stood up and gave him a 7-minute ovation, clapping ovation. They did not stop for 7 minutes. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I'll give you the AP, Associated Press headline. Pope's historic speech to Spain's parliament demands respect for migrants and gets 7-minute ovation. Okay, This was unprecedented. No one in Spain's parliament had ever received anything like. Have you heard of a 7-minute ovation? Mm. Like a clapping for 7 minutes.
It's amazing.
Like it's absolutely crazy, and you know, it's just incredible. Anyway, so that just shows the power in the Bible. Says in Revelation 13, verse 3, you know it well, the whole world wondered after the beast. Yes. The whole world will wonder. And so the Roman papacy at the end of time, and once again, folk, we're not down on Roman Catholic Christians. We love all people, but we're just looking at things from a prophetic point of view. From a prophetic point of view, the Bible says that the world at the end of time will look to the Roman papacy to lead the charge in seeking for peace and safety. And that is what we are seeing right now. Mm-hmm. And the United States being the enforcer of law and order. So we're seeing all this and church and state coming together and so on and so forth. Well,
we're going to have to listen to Brian Moss now. And it'll be a good thing because he's going to bring to us To Him Who Is Able, a doxology. Be blessed.
To Him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To Him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, and now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brian Moss, To Him Who Is Able. What a beautiful little song to interlude there. And you're listening to The Looking Up Show again. Our code word for today is LU26PEACE. Text that through to 0488-17624, and we'd love to hear from you if you have any other contributions you'd like to make to today's show. We hope you're enjoying the discussion, as I know I am right here in studio. So we've been just talking about peace and safety.
Yes, we have.
Let's talk about some supernatural stuff.
Yeah, well.
I saw a thing that
because that's going to be front and center at the end of time.
You've
no
been
doubt about
saying
it.
That for the last few weeks, making that pretty clear for us all, which was
really, well, that's what the Bible tells us.
That's right. You've been presenting what the Bible says, and it's interesting because I think we already mentioned this, but in a couple of days, Steven Spielberg's film Disclosure Day is about to hit the cinemas. And I saw this on as I was looking about it, reading about it. It says here, he says his new alien movie, Disclosure Day, will make Christians second guess their entire religion. Now, I thought that was interesting that he thinks this. I'm not quite sure why. Basically, I think he thinks that Christians think that God is the only God, but what if there's more to God than what they think, more to the universe than what they realize? And of course, we believe that the Bible teaches that we are a spectacle. Mm-hmm. The human planet is a spectacle before men and angels. Amen. So,
like a theater.
It implies, and where is that verse? It's in Corinthians.
In Corinthians somewhere. Yeah, I could find it.
It implies that there are other worlds out there, unfallen, that have not made the same choices that our human family made, our first parents made. And so that's a pretty epic thought, isn't it, to think that there's a lot more of life out there. Of course, there's all these space adventures to try and find evidences of life on Mars and all of these sorts of things. But the Bible's
pretty
clear.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9.
Thank you. The Bible's pretty clear that there is life out there. And, of course, the story of Job.
Yeah, that's right. The sons of God
came.
Job chapter 1. Yeah, Job chapter 1, yeah. So they presented themselves before God, and the devil came, you know, the representative of Earth, you know.
Claimed this planet as his territory.
Well, he had usurped that authority from Adam. Yeah. This world.
Adam gave it to him.
He gave it to him, yeah. He gave it to him. Like this planet was given by God to Adam to be a caretaker. You know, Adam and Eve were to be caretakers and the human race. And the enemy came along and sadly, you know, they gave that over to him.
Yeah.
But that's why Christ came 2,000 years ago and he bought us back. Yes. Hallelujah. So now he is the rightful owner of this planet.
Amen. But it's just fascinating right now, the focus on what's out there.
Yeah.
Life out there. And I watched a documentary.
Tell us about it.
It's called The Act of Disclosure. And I was looking it up because I heard it talked about on a news show, actually, on a Fox News report. I heard them mention it. I thought, oh, that sounds like an interesting documentary. It interviews a bunch of politicians, military generals, people who have had actual encounters with UAPs and actually seen supernatural phenomena. They can't describe it. There's, you know, these objects that fly fast. They have instant acceleration. They're silent. They can go from air to sea. They've seen it all and they've got it on video.
They can go from air to sea, back into the air.
And it doesn't disrupt the sea.
No, it's just phenomenal. We don't have nothing like that. It defies all physics.
Yeah. And so they're saying that now, of course, with Trump's opening of the UFO.
Yeah, well, two batches already.
It's just really opening up a whole new field of discussion.
Not to mention all of Hollywood's movies.
Yeah.
On, you know, extraterrestrial activity. So we can see a convergence of the supernatural coming to the fore. Not to mention, you know, all the books, Harry Potter, you know, children's
Twilight.
Books, Twilight, not to mention what's on social media, Witch Talk and so on. And so I did a whole sermon on this as part of my World on the Brink series. In fact, one of my messages is entitled A Trip into the Supernatural, where I zero in on this very subject. And for the entire course of that message, I unpack from scripture and from what's happening right before our very eyes that we are on the cusp. Sharissa, we are on the cusp of some incredible supernatural activity that the enemy will use in order to deceive the world to bring about this one world peace and safety.
Mm.
New world order that the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
Because Revelation 16, it says it. You want to read Revelation 16?
Let's read some
literally
scriptures.
It tells us. We've been told about this for the last 2,000 years, and now it's all coming to pass. Okay. Revelation 16. I was sharing this with my friends at RTM just yesterday. If you want to read Revelation 16, so this is under the sixth plague. This is the Battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to read verses 13 and 14, please, Revelation 16.
And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. I remember when we had Noamiko here on the show, and I think he read this one and he said three unclean spirits like frogs. Doesn't say they looked exactly like frogs, but that was the best way the prophet could describe it. If you look at some of the alien representations, I think you remember him saying this. They kind of remind you of this.
It does. And why frogs? We've got to remember, this is taking us back to Egypt.
Right.
The last plague that the magicians could replicate, okay, was the frogs. This is the last deception.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last deception that the enemy will seek, and ultimately is going to seek to showcase that he is Christ returned. You know, we have that in Matthew 24,
right,
where Jesus says, you know, there'll be false Christs, false prophets showing signs and wonders to deceive, even if possible, the very elect. You know, he said, if someone says to you, he is in the desert or he is in the inner room, do not go out, you know. So Satan will seek to deceive the world through the supernatural. And ultimately, he will seek to impersonate Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he can be a glorious being. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, the Bible says. Paul talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Satan is able to transform himself into is going to be beyond what human eyes have witnessed.
And if these UAPs are any indication of that, I mean, they've seen these big things coming down out of the
sky,
just hovering above military things.
And the average Joe and Jill out there, my friend, their mantra of how they go about life is seeing is believing.
That's right. That's the atheist position.
That's it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And so you're a sitting duck. Let me share with you again. I've shared this before. Roger Morneau.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roger Morneau, A Trip into the Supernatural is his book, where I get the title for that message that I do on this very subject. He's passed away now. He's written books on prayer, Incredible Answers to Prayer, which I would highly recommend people read. Great books. Anyway, he was in this Satanist occult worship religion, you could say, many, many years ago. And he shares this in some of the interviews that he's done. So it's not in his book per se, but it's in some of the interviews that he's done. And people can go on YouTube and you can watch some of those interviews with Roger Morneau when he shares some of this. But I've made some notes here in connection with those interviews and some of the things that he shares. And he basically was told, as he shares, that a high priest explained to Roger Morneau and those that were gathered there that one day demon spirits would declare themselves to be inhabitants of far distant planets of galaxies, and they would claim that they were coming to Earth to warn humanity of impending destruction unless people followed their instructions.
Mm.
These demon spirits would promise a glorious new age of peace and prosperity. They're the words of Roger Morneau.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? They'll be crying out for what?
Peace and safety.
What's Donald Trump seeking to bring about in his presidency? The golden age. The golden age. Can you see how all these things are coming to be?
It just reminds me of Daniel, the book of Daniel.
I'm telling you.
Setting up the golden image.
Absolutely. And he's got this Trump golden statue of himself.
There's
at his golf class.
Too many parallels.
Yeah, yeah.
I pray he 21... has a Nebuchadnezzar
Yeah, let's hope and pray.
Where he sees the God of heaven.
Yeah, well, he may need to eat some grass at his golf course before that. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But anyway, back to this. I just want to read you this, what Roger Morneau shared that the high priest shared with him, okay? This is what the high priest shared with Roger Morneau. As life on earth became more troubled and calamities increased, these alien spirits would intensify their efforts, appealing to religious and political leaders to win mass acceptance, even pushing for legal or government-backed decrees to enforce compliance. Mm. So they will be saying that, look, if you want no famine, no war, no social unrest, you want to have perfect happiness, brotherhood, prosperity, you will need to follow our recommendations. And that is straight out of the Great Controversy, my friend. Chapter 36, The Impending Conflict, that chapter highlights a number of the things that we've talked about.
Andrew Wilkerson's actually just texted us in. He's listening, and he said, did you hear about the Catholic priest who lost his job recently after saying that aliens are demons? Had you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
No, interesting.
Feel free to share more, Andrew.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. All right, and speaking of AI, I mean, today with AI, we don't know what to believe. Isn't that right?
That's so true.
It's hard to know whether it's real or fake. So this is all going to play into it.
Yeah.
And AI and war,
Yes.
The United States government, according to this headline from...
And AI and information, because AI is, you know, any AI thing like Claude or all these other things, they are algorithms that learn information and then regurgitate it, and they can regurgitate biases.
They're programmed by individuals to have a certain bias
in
the information they pump out.
What are the biases of the individuals? Because they're conditioning the mindset of the world.
That's why, my friend, that chapter in The Heart of the Great Controversy, End Time Sequence, chapter 37, The Scriptures are Safeguard. The scriptures are safeguard. The scriptures, my friends, will be our only safeguard.
Yeah.
Because you and I, if we have our philosophy of seeing is believing, we're going to get taken in hook, line, and sinker. Because this is real, what we're reading in Revelation 8.
And we totally need to, with the amount of stuff that's coming to us, with the things that are happening in the world, we've totally need to saturate ourselves with God's word right now to condition our minds. Otherwise, if we're not being conditioned by God's word, we're actually being conditioned by the thoughts and opinions of the world around us. And as we're seeing, it's just a mess.
It is. It is. So, folks, things are heating up from all angles. There's a convergence. We talk about that every week. There's a convergence of the signs of the times that we have in Scripture telling us that the great day of the Lord is almost upon us. But before the great day comes, those labor pains Jesus talked about are going to intensify. Mm-hmm. Things are going to get pretty hairy. And unless you and I are in Christ, unless we are grounded in Christ, we will not get through that final crisis.
That's right.
That final word. We need to be grounded in. I can't say this enough, Sharissa.
Yeah.
We need to be in our Bibles. We need to be on our knees. We need to be sharing, encouraging people, not using fear, but pointing people to Jesus, who's the Prince of Peace. This book, Man of Peace, you know, these are the kind of materials we need to be reading.
I mean, we talk about a lot of news things here, but the reason for that is not to make people jump into faith out of fear.
No.
But it's to highlight that there is behind what's going on. This is what the Bible says is happening. And there's a bigger picture happening here that we, most people, are not aware of. And now is the time to acquaint yourself with the God of the Bible, because he's about to enter human history.
Amen.
In the most dramatic way.
Amen. I love what Jesus said in John 16, you know, 32 and 33. He talks about, you know, his own tribulation. But he says, you know, be of good cheer. Mm. I have overcome the world. In me, you will have peace.
Yes.
And, you know, speaking of AI, here's a headline from May 27. And it was in the Christian Post. And the headline was, Elon Musk predicts brain implant company Neuralink, which is his company, will soon yield Jesus-level miracles of science.
Yeah. Wow.
So he's like, these chips will bring about Jesus-level miracles.
Amazing. Carlo Anton is listening. Good to have you, Carlo. He has a question. How can there be real peace in the world when each of the individuals at the highest echelons of wealth, influence, and power want to be God and rule over the nations? It's the great delusion instigated by Satan's false promise, you will be as gods. The world needs to accept the uncomfortable truth that there is no human solutions for the human condition. We cannot save ourselves. Well put.
Well put. Well
the world
put.
Needs Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
People
great.
Need the Lord.
Yeah, people.
We need the Lord, all of us.
Thank you for that message. That was right on the money, right on the money. So we praise the Lord that we have Christ. We have Christ, and he is the one that's going to guide us, and he's going to lead us, because this world is in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get any better.
Jesus
is the only solution.
And I love that we've come to this conclusion. We come this way every week, but
well, there's no other place to go.
Right. He is the only solution. And soon we'll be heading to the great controversy.
Yeah, that's where we're
going. Again, throughout history, this was the conclusion that so many came to as well in their experience.
Yeah. So, folk, it's really exciting to see, you know, whichever way we slice and dice the current events, that Jesus is coming soon. And from a religious, political, social, economic, environmental point of view, whatever point of view, everything is telling us to look up, because Jesus is drawing near.
Amen. Well, stay with us now. One of my favorite...
friend, to you. Complicated circumstances have clouded his view. And Lord, I lift my friend up to you. I fear that I won't have the words that he needs to hear. I pray for your wisdom, O God, and a heart that's sincere. My friend up to you.
Lord, I lift my friend to you, my best friend in the world. I know it means much more to you. I want so much to help him. This is something he has to do.
There's a way that seems so right to him, but you know where that leads. He's becoming a puppet of the world, too blind to see the strings. Lord, I lift my friend up.
I'm Rochelle, and you can join me every Thursday afternoon on Faith FM for the Book Nook. We'll discover great books, chat with inspiring authors, and enjoy great music and giveaways. We'll also be joined by Lyle Southwell each week for Question of the Day, where you'll get answers to your Bible questions. There's no question too big, too small, or too strange. So text in on 0488 80856. Tune in live to The Book Nook with Rochelle each Thursday from 3:30 p.m. New South Wales time.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
And you are listening to The Looking Up Show right now. We're so glad that you're with us. And a reminder, we've had a few takers already, which is exciting, but there's plenty more. If you'd like to be a recipient of the giveaway, the beautiful book, A Man of Peace. It's a classic work, a contemporary adaptation of the classic work on the life of Jesus, The Desire of Ages by Jerry D. Thomas. So the code word is LU26. Peace, P-E-A-C-E. Simply put that all together in a text message to 0488 17624, and we will be sure to get this book to you. And of course, we're enjoying hearing your contributions to our discussion. Also, if you have anything you'd like to share with us, please feel free to text it through to our studio number there too, 0488 17624.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're about to plunge into the great controversy chapter.
Oh, yes.
But before we do, just a couple of notes here in connection with, we've been talking about Sunday legislation. There's more and more and more of that, either legislation or just agitation.
Yes, agitation. I've seen a bit of that.
There's a lot of that. So more and more it's coming to the fore. So as I pointed out, all these things are coming in from all different angles. You know, we had the One Nation Under God Sunday. You remember rededicating the United States as one nation under God, and church and state uniting, you know, unprecedented, you know, all these unprecedented events, you know, Donald Trump calling for all Americans, or encouraging all Americans to set aside the Sabbath, you know, the seventh day Sabbath on the day before the rededication of America.
That was amazing.
Yeah, you know, he put that like in print. First time a US president has done something like that, you know, kind of really
setting a new precedent.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, so there's more of that. And I just came across this very interesting article in connection with, in the United States, there's a bit of a survey taking place of the best neighborhoods in the US for Sunday rest.
Really?
Yeah. Like having, they're doing, you know, they're surveying various places in the United States, seeking to find, you know, places that are perfect slow Sunday environments where communities spend time with their families, spend time, you know, looking at their religious activities, just spend time chilling out, relaxing. And here was, this was on, May 26, 2026, WFTV 9 in Orlando praised the fact that three Florida neighborhoods have been nationally recognized as places where the perfect slow Sunday has been achieved. This national survey is, of course, normalizing, you know, Sunday as the day for the family, Sunday as the day for rest, Sunday as the day for bringing communities together, Sunday as the day to slow down before the working week begins. Mm-hmm. And so let me just read to you a little here. It says this was Channel 9 News. Sorry, Channel 9. This is Channel 9 in Florida, Orlando. Three Florida neighborhoods have earned national recognition as ideal places to unwind and enjoy a leisurely Sunday. Was this article. A recent survey from Calgary.com, so you'd have to go to Calgary.com to check this out, ranked neighborhoods across the U.S. based on qualities people associate with a perfect slow Sunday, such as walkable streets, local coffee shops, quiet surroundings, bookstores, brunch spots, and outdoor spaces. And it pointed out there were three neighborhoods there in Florida that were in that, you know, in the top ratings across the United States of America. So, it's interesting how this also now they've got these surveys, you know, which neighborhoods are providing the best slow Sunday experience for you. Wow. You might want to live in one of those neighborhoods is what people are, are being asked to consider. So anyway, this is just all part of that.
The more you talk about it, the more normal it becomes.
Exactly. Normalizing it. So anyway. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll head on over to the great controversy.
Yay. So we're up to chapter 13 this week.
Yes.
It's taken us a while to get here.
It wasn't a long chapter. I listened to it this morning.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah. Great chapter.
It was a good chapter. And we should mention.
Letitia, have you ever read The Great Controversy?
I've listened to it.
You've listened to it?
I listened to it on my lovely drive to university and back.
Fantastic. Are you currently listening to it?
I've had a break for a little bit, okay. But I'm about 3/4 of the way through.
Good on you.
Good on you, Letitia.
There's a lot of history at the beginning.
I love it. It's so cool.
Yeah. There you go. That's the opinion of a young person.
I know. How old are you, Letitia?
I'm 20.
20. There you go. So from a 20-year-old. Have you come across the Lineage Journey series?
That is like my favorite thing on YouTube.
Look at that.
It's like my favorite thing in the world. The other favorite thing in the world in mine is probably the Reformation in general. So.
Wow. So we got.
You'll have to pipe in.
You're going to have to pipe in. Yeah. You're definitely going to. You're like a pig in mud, like a veggie pig in mud.
Yeah, no.
Fantastic. Very cool. Lineage Journey, folk. Go to Lineage Journey on YouTube. They do like a 7, 5, 6, 7, 10 minute summary on site there,
in all the places.
In all the Reformation places. Yeah, and they go through the whole Great Controversy.
Amazing fact. Someone stole all their equipment the other week. And so they issued a request for prayer.
Uh-huh.
And people were praying. The equipment was not returned, but praise God, they were able to send someone to fly out more cameras to where they were so they could continue their
Praise the Lord.
They will not be stopped.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, and I just started watching this morning, It Is Written. Mm-hmm. They did a special 9-part series on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I just started watching that from our friend Pastor... John Bradshaw. Yeah.
I was wondering which friend it was. We have so many friends.
We do. In all places. Most people don't know
unexpected
them.
Places.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's a really good series. So look that up on YouTube. So anyway, all right.
All right. And should we tell people if they haven't got a copy?
Yeah.
Text the letters GC. Just text GC.
Absolutely.
Those letters to 0488 1764, and we'll get you a copy.
Absolutely. Or The Cosmic Conflict. That's an easy to read version of The Great Controversy. It's a lot shorter, just over 200 pages. And that's a really good version as well. I've read it a couple of times. So yeah, if you're not a big reader, because there's like almost 700 pages in The Great Controversy, get The Cosmic Conflict. We can't give that away, I don't think.
No.
But you can order it online. Cosmic Conflict.
And a repeat of today's code word, because someone's trying. L-U-2-6, peace. P-E-A-C-E. All right, here we go.
Here we go, my friend. So, you lead the charge.
Yeah. So we are talking about the Netherlands and Scandinavia today. And I guess a little bit of a – we should set the platform a little bit. We talked about last week, was it France?
The French Reformation, yes.
So now we're moving to the Netherlands. And it says, in the Netherlands, the papal tyranny very early called forth resolute protest. So the Protestant movement found quite good ground here in this part of the world, in the Netherlands. And it says here I'm reading here, there were people that arose from century to century to echo the protest, and those early teachers who, traversing different lands and known by various names, bore the character of the Vaudois missionaries and spread everywhere the gospel, the knowledge of the gospel, penetrated to the Netherlands. Now, who are the Vaudois?
Ah, they're the Waldensians.
All right, we've the met Waldensian. Them before.
Yes, we have. There was a chapter on the Waldensians that we've already dealt with. Yeah.
And what an amazing people group they were. Yeah. Such
translated the scriptures into the language of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So yeah, they these people now sharing that faith take it with them, and of course we should not be surprised. It says now began the Romish persecutions. Wherever true faith exists, wherever there is a pure presentation of the gospel of peace, Satan is quick to try and squash.
Well, he's aroused. He's aroused into action because he wants to squash it, like you said.
Yeah, and so. And then it says this, but in the midst of faggots and torture, the believers continued to multiply, steadfastly declaring that the Bible is the only infallible authority in religion, and that no man should be coerced to believe, but should be won by preaching.
I love that. Legislation is not how we turn the heart to God.
Yeah.
We turn the heart to God through the Holy Spirit, that converting power of the Holy Spirit that changes the heart, not through legislation, but through the love of God and the gospel.
Yes. And I like how, you know, presented here, this is the way, the Bible, but it's your choice. You don't let someone force you. You let you make an informed decision and choose it.
It's incredible that for reading the Bible, you could be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you and I cannot even begin to fathom.
I was just
reading
thinking about that.
The Bible.
Yeah.
Can be a death sentence.
We would be worthy of death if we lived
long time
in that
ago.
Time. We wouldn't be here right now. But yeah, fascinating to think that reading the Bible was worthy of death. And from the Netherlands, there came a faithful preacher by the name of Menno Simmons. I love finding these smaller characters of history. They're not the Martin Luthers or the John Wycliffe's, but they're giants of faith nonetheless.
He's the founder of the Mennonites. Is that
really?
Correct?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I might have read that. I could be wrong. But anyway, well,
he was educated as a Roman Catholic and ordained to the priesthood. He was, she says, wholly ignorant of the Bible, would not read it for fear of being beguiled into heresy. But when doubt concerning the doctrine of transubstantiation forced itself upon him, what is that doctrine?
Transubstantiation is the Church of Rome that believes the priest has the power to transform the bread, you know, the communion bread, the wafer, and the wine into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ.
To the physical.
Physical. So you're partaking of the literal physical body and blood of Jesus Christ, that the priest has the power to do this. So literally at every Mass, Christ is crucified again.
Wow.
And the Bible says that Christ was crucified once and for all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, well, he was concerned about this, Menno Simons, and he thought, you know what, I think it's just the temptation of Satan. So he tried by prayer and confession to free himself from this doubt about it, but he couldn't. And then after a time, he was led to the study of the New Testament, and this, along with Luther's writings, caused him to accept the Reformed faith. He soon after witnessed in a neighboring village the beheading of a man who was put to death for having been rebaptized. Can you believe it? This led him, Menno Simons, to study the Bible in regard to infant baptism. He could find no evidence for it in the scriptures, but saw that repentance and faith are everywhere required as a condition of receiving baptism. Mm. I would have thought, you know, we do not know who that man was who was beheaded.
No.
God knows.
Yeah.
But that man, through his witness, God used it to bring conviction to the heart of Menno Simons, and he went on to share the work. It's this giant chain reaction, isn't it?
Who was that early church father? Was it Tertullian? I can't remember, who said the
blood of Christians.
Yeah, the blood of the Christians is the seed of the gospel.
That's exactly what happened for him.
That's going to happen at the end of time, Charissa.
Amen.
At the end of time, there will be martyrs. The Bible tells us that. Jesus told us that. There will be martyrs. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and some of you will be put in prison. Some of you will even lose your lives. And that will be for a witness, Jesus says. So in the end time, as it was in the Reformation times, as it has been down through history, including Abel, you know, the first martyr, you could say, you know, of God. He was killed by his brother Cain, and every time there is a martyr that gives up his or her life, it's a witness,
amen,
and others are drawn. Look, Saul.
No life is lost.
Saul, let's not go past Saul.
True. Stephen.
Saul was converted. Well, part of his conversion experience, the context was the stoning of Stephen,
true,
who was the first Christian martyr.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Menno withdrew from the Roman Church after that. He devoted his life to teaching Bible truth in both Germany and the Netherlands, and there was many fanatics that arose at the same time,
always.
And he saw what fanaticism does and where it led, and so he strenuously opposed these things. But, yeah, he would preach among those who were open. And it says here he did this for 25 years with his wife and kids.
I know. I read that. Like, he traveled with his wife and children, enduring great hardships and privations and frequently in peril of his life. So with his family did this. This was family ministry.
That's beautiful. There's a few family ministry moments in our chapter today. We're going to come back to this again. But as we keep going here, it says here that he traversed the Netherlands and northern Germany. He had many, though they suffered greatly from being confounded with fanatical monsterities, great numbers were converted under his labors. God blessed him. So it wasn't easy, but God blessed him. And I think about that verse in Isaiah 55 where God says, you know, as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void,
amen,
but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let's listen to this beautiful song, Braden and Elise, bringing to us Where Christ Is.
Christ is sitting at the right hand of God.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Unto thee, yeah, we'll look.
You are listening to the Looking Up Show. Our time is flying.
Can't believe it.
This is our last segment.
Letitia, did you press the fast forward button on our show, Letitia?
Oh, unfortunately, I didn't. Time just flies.
I know.
It always does. And a reminder, the code word for today, LU26 peace. It's nice to see more people taking it up, the offer today. 0488 17624 is the place to send it. LU26PEACE.
So if not for you, for somebody else.
Yes.
You're not going to give someone a better gift than this book.
Amen.
Introduce them to Jesus. Prepare them for the kingdom.
Amen.
Wow.
Now, during that beautiful song break, you looked up something, did you?
Yes, I did. I thought I'd heard that Menno Simons was the one who started the Mennonite faith. And yes, during our break, I went and did some research, and sure enough, yes, he did begin the Mennonite faith, and he also converted to the Anabaptist movement. Now, the Anabaptist movement, well, you read about baptism, mm-hmm. okay, that's part of the story, and that's where their name comes from. You know, the Baptists, they believe in baptism
by immersion
of an individual who is conscious of their sin, is able to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior based on the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible does not have anywhere anything in connection with infant baptism. There's nothing. There are children being dedicated. Jesus was dedicated as a mm-hmm, child. Mm-hmm. I've dedicated my children. I'm sure you
yes.
and Justin have dedicated Judah.
Yep.
And so that's a beautiful biblical service, a dedication of a child. But that's not a baptism. A baptism is when an individual makes their own decision. You have to repent and mm-hmm. be baptized. Mm-hmm. In order to repent.
Children can't do that.
Children cannot, because you're not conscious. You're not aware of your sins mm-hmm. in order to come to your sin-pardoning Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also, apart from that, apart from believers' baptism, the Anabaptists also promoted separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Williams and the United States in Bible Prophecy. By the way, July 3 and 4, Hamilton.
Final Allegiance, America in Crisis.
Yes, go to the Faith
Starts
FM website.
6 p.m.
Yeah, Friday night. July 3 and through area. July 4 into Saturday. So anyway, so that was really interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are not well known. They're not well known like the Martin Luthers, the Zwinglis, the Calvins, the Wesleys, the Husses. They're not as well known, but wow.
And what made them wow was the same thing that made the others wow. Yeah. Was the Bible. They just studied the Bible.
Amen.
They wrestled with it. And God brought them to truth. You know, speaking here then as we continue through the book, in the Netherlands, there was persecution that also arose. And it says this, to read the Bible, to hear or preach it, or even to speak concerning it was to incur the penalty of death by the stake. We highlighted this before, but just reading those words, you know, by the stake. To pray to God in secret, to refrain from bowing to an image, or to sing a psalm was also punishable with death. Even those who should abjure their errors were condemned, if men, to die by the sword, or if women, to be buried alive. And thousands perished under the reign of Charles V and Philip II during this time.
Wow.
Do you want to read that next paragraph, actually?
Yeah, one time it says here, a whole family was brought before the inquisitors, charged with remaining away from Mass and worshipping at home. On his examination as to their practices in secret, the youngest son answered, "We fall on our knees and pray that God may enlighten our minds and pardon our sins. We pray for our sovereign that his reign may be prosperous and his life happy. We pray for our magistrates that God may preserve them." Mm. Some of the judges were deeply moved, yet the father and one of his sons were condemned to the stake.
Wow.
So this young son is, but he's sharing that we're not only praying to God, we're not only spending time
praying for you that God
will
bless
you. We're praying for you. We're praying for our political leaders. We're praying for the magistrates. We're praying for the king.
That God may preserve them.
What? And you're sent to the stake.
Love your enemies.
Wow. And you know what's interesting? You know, like a historian, and there's many historians that have written about the Reformation. And this book, The Great Controversy, literally takes many statements from various historians and the author Ellen White, and she's put them all together in a beautiful way. It says here, wives would take their stand by their husband's stake, and while he was enduring the fire, they would whisper words of solace or sing psalms to cheer him.
Yeah.
That's just the incredible faith of the men, the women, and the children.
And it goes on, young maidens would lie down in their living grave as if they were entering into their chamber of nightly sleep, or go forth to the scaffold and the fire dressed in their best apparel as if they were going to their marriage. Wow.
Well, they were going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The next time they open their eyes, when God gives them breath in the resurrection, they will be heading on a one-way ticket to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen. You know, the peace that's described on the faces and in the lives and the countenance of these people as they were dying, it can only come from God.
Amen.
Like that's
the Prince of Peace, Jesus.
That is a sign and a wonder.
Amen.
In the world.
The greatest wonder.
The greatest wonder.
Yeah.
And so Satan, he probably was hoping he'd stop the truth, but the more he killed them, the more the truth continues to spread. Well, we go from there, and then we meet a guy named Tausen, the reformer of Denmark, just a peasant son. Any things you want to say about him?
Well, I just think it's really interesting that, you know, this boy, you know, Tausen, he gave evidence of vigorous intellect. He thirsted for an education. But even though this was denied him by the circumstances of his parents, he still wanted to know and understand, and he entered a cloister, obviously, to dedicate himself as a minister of the Church of Rome. And during that time, God revealed to him his truth.
That's right. He became disgusted with the things he was learning about the mysticisms of the schoolmen, and at the same time, Someone must have exposed him to Luther's writings. He read them, she says, with wonder and delight and greatly desired to enjoy the personal instruction of the reformer. But to do so would make, you know, his superiors really think he was crazy. So he soon, though, enrolled as a student at Wittenberg.
At Wittenberg. Now that place rings a bell.
It's a pretty famous place, isn't
Martin
it?
Luther, Wittenberg, right. And the 95 Theses in 1517. Wow.
And I think God providentially enabled him to do this because the people who were dealing with him, they could have tried to kill him for, you know, following heresy, but instead they expelled him. And so now he's gone and he goes and he preaches and he learns and he listens.
And he kind of did it undercover.
Yeah.
Because it says here, you know, he came back from Wittenberg. He came back into Denmark and he went back into the cloister.
Mm-hmm.
No one has yet suspected him of Lutherism. He did not reveal his secret, but endeavored without exciting the prejudices of his companions to lead them to a purer faith and a holier life. He opened the Bible and explained its true meaning and at last preached Christ to them as the sinner's righteousness and his only hope of salvation. Mm-hmm. So this reminds us of the words of Jesus, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves.
Yes.
You know, so there is a time to be very public about your faith,
mm-hmm.
but there's a time to do it in a more private way. You're not denying your faith, but you're just being wise as a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God's leading you, God's guiding you.
Mm.
So it's important for us to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit.
I think that's such a good point because sometimes you can say more about error by just focusing more on truth because just people see the contrast.
Exactly.
And you can actually say all you need to say about error by just lifting up the truth.
Yeah, and once again, you know, the power of the written word, that really comes through in this chapter. You know, how God's word, you know, just changes men's hearts. It changes the paradigm of what they once thought was truth to now, and just the opening of the word of God.
Yes, and it affected people in Sweden too. There were two Swedish reformers, brothers, Olaf and Laurentius Petri. Is that right? Petri?
Yeah, correct. Along those lines.
The sons of a blacksmith studied under Luther and Melanchthon, the truths which they learned, and then they taught them. And like the great reformer, Olaf aroused the people by his zeal and eloquence, while Laurentius, like Melanchthon, was learned, thoughtful, and calm. And both men of ardent piety and high theological attainments and of unflinching courage in advancing the truth. Papist opposition wasn't lacking. The Catholic priests stirred up the ignorant and superstitious people. Olaf was often assailed by the mob and on several occasions barely escaped with his life. These reformers were, however, favored and protected by the king.
Yeah, and it's interesting how many times, and, you know, we had that in the French Reformation, I think it was the Queen. Was it the Queen or the Princess in France? Just sort of opened the doors and protected the reformers. And here you have, you know, you've got this king coming to the rescue of these two brothers so that they can continue to share. So as the enemy is working and Satan is working through, you know, through his means and through his people and his institutions, God is also at work.
Amen.
What a battle. Sounds like a great controversy.
Yes, it should be the title of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it seems here that the nation was very divided at this time. The king determined upon a reformation in the state and the church, and he welcomed these able assistants in the battle against Rome. So they had the favor of the king. And it says here, in the presence of the monarch and the leading men of Sweden, Olaf Petri, with great ability, defended the doctrines of the Reformed faith against the Romish champions. He declared that the teachings of the fathers are to be received only when in accordance with the scriptures. That's like the recurring theme, the Bible of the Bible only, lifting up the Bible, and then you suddenly cause, it's like a light goes on and all the moths flock to the light.
And as it says here, he showed that the decrees of the church are of no authority when in opposition to the commands of God, and maintained the great Protestant principle that the Bible and the Bible only is the rule of faith and practice.
Mm. Amen.
Powerful, powerful.
Well, We have almost gotten through the whole chapter. There's just three paragraphs left that we could touch upon. That's unusual for us.
It is very unusual. That's because it was a short chapter.
It was a beautiful short chapter. Yeah. But, you know.
But very inspiring.
Yeah.
Especially the families.
Yeah.
The wives, the children. Mm-hmm. That was probably the most inspiring part for me.
Yeah, me too.
Reading this. About, you know.
Young women being so courageous.
Absolutely. Incredible. Incredible. So, Letitia, if we ask you to weigh in, what, based on our conversation, what has really inspired you in connection with, not just this chapter, but the Reformation period? Because obviously you're an avid reader and you love the Reformation and history.
Yeah, probably just remembering that we don't have to accept the general way that things seem to be going from the outside. Like, it's okay to have questions and to go to the Bible with those questions, because there will be answers.
Amen.
I like too that, these reformers were not people who were just necessarily loud and boisterous.
No.
They weren't trying to be controversial. They were actually just people who were really faithful in their study of the Bible. And they were so convicted and so committed to God that as they read what God said, they wanted to do what God wanted, and then they taught it.
Mm.
And that's what made them great.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And just these two individuals, you know, you could sort of sum up their work, you know, these two Petrie brothers, Olaus and Laurentius, or however you say his name, you know, they emphasize salvation through Christ alone, the authority of Scripture, you know, preaching the message of the gospel in the common language, not in the Latin, which was the case and people couldn't understand, and translating the Word of God into the language of the people. Mm. We are standing on their shoulders, Charissa. As Protestant Christians today, which we are, we stand on the shoulders of these men and women,
mm-hmm.
who were willing to risk everything, and did. Many of them did. Only God knows. And only heaven has recorded how many laid down their lives for the sake of you and I today having, you know, the gospel in a format that we can read and understand and be blessed by and share with others.
Amen. Well, we're going to listen to Melissa Otto bring to us a song, See With New Eyes. I think it's appropriate. These people, as they read the Bible, see with new
Amen.
Eyes. And then we'll summarize everything we've talked about in just the few moments that remain after this. So enjoy and be blessed by this beautiful song.
Trust in your Father's love. Don't let doubt enter into your heart. Every breath that you breathe is a gift from Him. He is close to you and closer still. Do not bow your head down low, regretting and fretting, feeling dismayed. See through new eyes, the old self has died. Do not go back to your old chains. Your life cost Him dearly, even the life of His Son. That you might be redeemed, you are forgiven and clean. Arise and walk in the freedom He bought for you. I was lost in sin, but you reached down and pulled me out to be lost in your great love. So rich and measureless, strong and boundless, never ending love, never ending love.
I loved that. I hope we hear it again.
She's got a beautiful voice.
That was a beautiful voice of Melissa Otto there.
Yeah.
See With New Eyes. And that brings us to the end of our program today. We were kind of reflecting there just now on the Reformation and what characterized it. But if you wanted to summarize this study, how would you do it?
I would summarize it probably in this way, as we've looked at everything. the power of the Word of God to transform lives, the willingness of men and women to sacrifice everything to make the Word of God accessible in the language of the people, and you know, the beautiful message of salvation through Christ alone, and you know, the Bible and the Bible alone as the rule of faith for the believer in Christ, you know, just once again highlighted through, you know, Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden, all these countries, you know, these Northern European countries that had the opportunity to receive the gospel. Also, if I could just add to that, you know, just to see how one reformer links in with the next, you know, just
big chain reaction.
Yeah, the big beautiful chain reaction. You know, you've got these reformers going into Germany, reading Luther's writings. You know, Luther is inspired by others like John Huss and the Waldensians, and so you see how light is being brought forth out of the darkness by God. You know, step by step by step. You know, the light that shines perfectly, more and more perfectly, as the Bible says, unto the perfect day.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So just it's just so inspiring. So inspiring.
Oh, very inspiring.
What about you?
You actually inspired me to think of a quote just now, and I was just looking for it, but thinking about this great chain reaction, how, you know, that unnamed person who was beheaded had such an impact on Menno Simons, and then those young ladies and those people who were, you know, condemned to die, and history, God only knows how many there were, really were. But I was thinking, there is a quote that Ellen White talks about, how when we get to heaven, one of the greatest moments will be as we gather around the great white throne. She says, we shall see souls who have been saved by our influence, or through our influence, and we shall see how one has saved others, and these still others, a large company brought into the haven of rest as a result of our labors, there to lay their crowns at Jesus' feet and praise him through the ceaseless ages of eternity. And then she says, how great will heaven be for those who have been, paraphrasing now, but for those who have been participating in the work of saving souls. And, you know, God's not calling us to a stake, and we don't know what the future holds, but God is calling us to be faithful to him. He calls us to know him, to love him, and to live for him, to look up and to live for him. And we can expect that as we do this, your life will have an impact on the people that you're around. People will say, hey, what's different about you? Why do you have peace? Why do you have no fear? Why aren't you worried about the economy or the war or the next pandemic? Why are you not afraid? And you can say, because I know the Lord.
Amen.
And he is the Prince of Peace, and he's promised that he'll see us through. He's the Good Shepherd, and we can trust him.
Amen. Amen.
And that influence can bring peace to somebody else. And that's why, you know, Jesus wants us, I mean, in Ephesians 6, to put on our feet the gospel of
peace,
preparation of peace. We should be peacemakers and bring the peace of God, the peace of heaven, to everyone around us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, that ties in with my favorite scripture, which is Philippians 4, 6 and 7, you know, where Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in your hearts, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, that kind of brings us full circle.
It does.
So we should close in prayer. Would you like to close in prayer for us?
Happy to. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you that he is the Prince of Peace in this world that is hurtling out of control more and more every day. And as people are grasping for hope and peace and safety, most are sadly looking in all the wrong places. Father, we thank you that we have Jesus,
Amen.
That we can turn to him. We pray, Father, that we will be like these incredible men and women, boys and girls who lived hundreds of years ago, Lord, who were willing to put their lives on the line so that others may have peace, that others may have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you will use us in these closing moments of human history to be ambassadors of peace, to be ambassadors of hope, to point people to you, Lord, to help people prepare for that day which we believe is approaching very soon, when together we will look up and we will say, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he has come to save us. Lo, he is the Lord. We will rejoice in his salvation. This is my prayer for all of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Ah. Beautiful.
Well, beautiful.
Brings
beautiful.
Us all the way through. I'm not going to be here for the next little while.
But you won't be here for the next 3 weeks, but we don't have a program next week, folk. Okay. But after that, we've got two testimonies from two of our listeners. Oh,
so stay tuned and always come here to
have
find
a great
out what's
trip.
Happening.
Have a great trip.
Thank you. Until I get back, remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up and may God bless you all.
Keep looking up, don't give up. Don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
This is how we